I'm here in North Avenue with Steve Bradley and Jason Sloan, artists who are presenting an installation called...
The piece is called North Avenue Noise, and then Jason and I did a performance last night at the Windup Space called North Avenue Noise plus Vibrating Air. And the installation is four FM transmitters hung on the inside of the Windup Space that is broadcasting the sounds from the streets, and it's actually combining the interior exterior sounds of the North Avenue, which is on the corner of Charles Street and North Avenue. And the piece blurs the wall between the street and the interior space, so if you listen to it, you're hearing the interior voices and any music that's being played, people sitting around the couch, so you can hear, so you're sort of over eavesdropping on voices and such. So it's an interesting piece in terms of acoustics. So as you're listening, you're like sitting in between the wall or the glass window.
What was your concept before choosing the materials you used, and why you chose this kind of array instead of kind of choosing some kind of corridor, and why did you end up, you know, setting it up as you did at the end?
That's a great question, and it's something I'm always concerned about, particularly with radio, which is kind of a mystery to many people. Radio is it's a little bit like trying to deal with water. It sort of slips through your fingertips. So I wanted to create a piece that had a physical form that when you approached it, it made you contemplate the power of radio, and its invisibility became visual or became physical. And so I also was very fortunate that the Windup Space has this very unique wall. As soon as I saw that wall, I knew how I was going to deal with it. It was sort of magic. And the color of the wall, with this kind of deep ochre orange color, I spent a great deal of time trying to design and manifest these small transmitter boxes, these containers. And so normally these boxes have a black cover, and so everything's invisible. So what I did is I had plexiglass plates cut to the size of the top, and then these screws. And so the plexiglass is sort of floating over the box. And then I left the plastic protective material that prevents the scratches from getting on the plexiglass because of the color blue, and then the LED lights shining through the blue, it couldn't have been more perfect.
I realized that next to your transmitters, you also had small receivers, like small radios attached on the wall. I mean, my question is, and concern, of course, how big, the sound would be to influence people, actually, because you mentioned earlier that, you know, people sitting on the couch, and, you know, Windup Space can end up a very busy space in terms of sound. So why did you choose like these small speaker phones, let's say?
Right. Well, they really don't make any sound. They're plugged into the transmitter. So what's really happening is the sound from the windows have attached these contact mics, these 35mm piezo discs that are going into a mixer that then the first transmitter picks that sound up and then transmits that sound to the little tiny radios. And then those radios feed the sound into the second FM transmitter. So it's a chain link feedback loop. So then the last FM receiver that's attached to the last FM receiver on the mixer is feeding that sound back into the mix. So it creates kind of beat frequencies, and so the acoustic amplitude on the streets affects the quality of the sound.
Oh, okay, great. That's a great thing too. And what about you, Jason? How are you involved in the project? What is your input in the project?
Steve had approached me about creating a sound work live using the material that is being broadcast as almost a sonic sculptural medium. And so through our dialogue discussing how the performance on Saturday was going to unfold, I had proposed to Steve, because a lot of my work uses sound but puts it into a different geographic location using the internet, relocating one location into another. So I had proposed to Steve that we actually connect the audio that was being couldn't be picked up by people driving by on the FM transmitters, that we also open up the geography and allow people around the world to be able to listen to the sounds. So I built a website for this work, for the North Avenue Noise Vibrating Air piece, that is streaming live the audio that is out, that is here, which ironically kind of added a whole new dimension to it too, because it ended up becoming really...
Transglobal.
It became very transglobal, and it also became...
Transglobal, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, and it also ironically kind of became this surveillance piece, because you can actually hear people's conversations, but in a collaged manner, because both of the inside and the outside, and you know, people are standing outside having conversations, and you know, so it became very, very intriguing on a number of different levels. But then on Saturday night, last night, Steve and I used the material that was being created by the work and created an entirely you know, new musical composition actually out of that. We also incorporated scanners and a number of different radio receivers that were basically picking up all kinds of different frequencies, kind of playing the air like a guitar, if you will.
And do you have a recording of last night's performance?
Yes, we have several that will be available in the next week or two. But I'd like to say something about the FM, the frequencies that we were playing with. I had a long frequency device that was picking up small frequencies from the equipment, and I was waving my wand around, and there was a guy doing a text message during our performance on the couch, and I slowly moved the wand near his phone, and you could hear the sound of his phone working. Yes, it was really quite serendipitous and quite
funny.
You
know, this is an experience that most people don't have, but people who are actually recording and wearing headphones and using microphones, they usually pick up the signal. So it's good to amplify these kind of sounds, because they totally happen all around us, which is good.
Right.
Cool. And what's next now? I mean, will you be presenting this, or is it like a specifically made for the Megapolis?
Right, this piece, what I love about Baltimore and living in Baltimore, is an opportunity to treat the community as a kind of a petri dish to test ideas. So I'm really hoping to move this piece into some other locations. I think I've done a really good job of documenting it, and I'm hoping to sort of remap it for another installation. I have become much more in tune to, because of the noise levels here, I'm interested in perhaps exploring more natural environments that might be considered delicate, so it might have more of an environmental, I mean, this does touch onto environmental issues like acoustic ecology and how much noise can humans tolerate, or living beings, and so my work is sort of evolving around the idea of, and how do we as citizens slow down and quiet down and control the noise levels within our environments.
So you're both based in here in Baltimore?
Cool. Yes.
And you've been working like together for a long time, or is it your first collaboration?
We've known each other for a couple years, but it's only recently that we've started talking, and this opportunity came up through Megalopolis, and so we started chatting, and so one thing led to another, and I think we're probably going to try to continue working together. I teach at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, outside of the city, and Jason teaches at Maryland Institute of Art. So.
It was nice talking to you. Thank you very much. And, yeah.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.